Okay, looking at religious experience, which can come up in two questions. It can come up in the question and a question about revelation or experiencing God, or it can come up in a question about the existence of God. Experiencing God is actually a fairly common thing. Some people, there are the religious experiences that most people immediately think about when they hear about religious experience are things like, you know, Moses at the burning bush. You hear about, you know, Jesus, whenever Jesus goes into the desert to fast for 40 days and for 40 nights. So people can have quite profound religious experiences. But most people's religious experiences are actually fairly ordinary, fairly common. So people can experience God when they pray, when they worship God, when they read the Bible. These are all fairly ordinary religious experiences. So then the question becomes, well, how do you know you're not just imagining that? So if somebody has what they believe is a fairly profound experience, say, of God's love, or maybe what they would call conviction of sin. A lot of people would say that when they maybe go to church, when they hear about the cross, they would be convinced of the fact that they're sinners and that they need to say sorry to God. How do you know those experiences are real? Why would anybody believe that those experiences are true? Well, whenever you have a moral experience, your conscience usually tells you that there is a rule that you're breaking, or that there's some sort of moral command that you must obey, like try and help the weak, try and help the innocent. And our moral experiences are things that we just accept at face value. So if you have a moral experience that tells you that a newborn child is a very precious thing that deserves protection, you don't question that. And the only way that we can make sense of the world morally is to sort of accept our moral experiences at face value. If we didn't believe in our moral experiences, we wouldn't believe in right or wrong at all. And everybody does seem to believe in right or wrong at some level. You know, if you do something to someone in school, a teacher puts somebody in detention and they don't deserve it, the immediate reply comes, that's not fair, you can't do that to me, and people get angry. So people all believe in morality because of their moral experiences. Now, sometimes moral experiences can disagree. Somebody might think something's fair, very strongly. Some people might believe it's unfair, very strongly. Simply take the issue of abortion, and you've got people who will believe that the unborn child is precious and should be protected. You have other people who believe that the woman's body is hers and she's a right to control it. And each side believes their view very strongly and they hold opposite beliefs. Well, can they both be right? Well, not completely. No, they both can't completely be right. But it's interesting to look at what they agree on. They all agree that there's a right and a wrong. And they all agree that these are powerful moral commands that we should obey. And they agree that there's good and there's evil. So their moral experiences do tell them something important about the world. And both sides actually agree that a woman's body is hers, that she should have control over it. Both agree an unborn child is something special. They just disagree as to how special or how important we should treat the unborn child, allow a woman to, how much control she should have over her body. So they agree on important things. The same goes for religious experience. Some people would say, yes, lots of religions disagree about God, but they're agreed on important facts. For example, there is a God, that God is good, that God is creator. There's enough of importance there for people to agree on. And that's the argument for God's existence from religious experience. Again, there are many things that we all believe in that we can't physically see, that we can't physically detect. We believe in beauty. We believe in right or wrong. We believe that human life is important. Good, evil, justice. We all believe in those things, even though science can't detect them, even though we can't detect them with our senses. Something that we all believe in is our own ability to reason. Now, that's important because if something like the theory of evolution is true, again, lots of Christians would agree with that, a lot would disagree, but if evolution is true and there's no God, then the human brain was formed by accident. So you'd have no good reason to trust your brain's ability to reason. You wouldn't trust a computer that was thrown together at random, yet if there's no God, your brain was thrown together at random. So why trust it on issues? And the bottom line is we just don't simply seem to have any choice but to trust our own ability to reason. So again, there's no reason to reject religious belief simply because it isn't scientific, or religious experience because it isn't scientific. It seems that if you have a religious experience, you've got no reason to doubt it. You're not drunk or high at the time. If your emotions aren't being manipulated by other people, it just defies common sense to doubt that experience. So a lot of people would say, even if I don't have proof that can convince you there's a God, I've experienced him. I'm not going to doubt that experience. In the same way, I don't doubt my moral experience. I don't doubt my conscience when it tells me something is wrong. There's another aspect to human experience that can be called religious, and that's the desire for something greater. That's the desire, for example, to know that there's more to life than the here and now. That's the desire for a love that's never failing. That's the desire to know that, you know, your life goes on beyond the grave, or the desire for perfect justice in the world. There are all these desires that we have for things that just aren't there, that just aren't there in the world at the minute. And the question is, where do those desires come from? Why is it that we want something more than the world has to offer? Why is it that we want the life that goes on beyond our natural bodies, life on earth? Why is it that we want a perfect love? Why can't we just make do with the love that human beings have to offer each other? Why is it that we want perfect justice, not just the justice that the courts can sort of just about get right? Why do we desire so much more? And some people would argue, or some Christians would argue, C.S. Lewis very famously argued, that our desires point us towards God, because we weren't made to live in this world, or just in this world. We were made to live in this world and in the presence of God. And it's that "and" in this world and in the presence of God. At the minute, we don't live with God's presence. And he would say that's why we're hungry for God. He said it would be a very odd world if people got hungry and thirsty, but there was no food or water in that world. That would make no sense. So why is it that people hunger for a perfect love? Why is it that people hunger for eternal life if there is no perfect love, if there is no eternal life? And that's another argument for God's existence from religious experience.